For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Eleanor. Good morning, everyone. Last week we started looking at this prayer at the end of Ephesians 3, this prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian church, but it is a beautiful and profound kind of model prayer. It's a prayer that God wants to teach us to pray. And we thought a bit last week about how it's not a prayer about the things around us. It's not a prayer about our circumstances. That doesn't mean it's wrong to pray about those things. God cares about the details of our lives. It's great to pray about them. But the thing he wants to do most of all is within us. It's in our hearts to expand our hearts to receive Jesus more. And we looked at the first half really last week, and today we're going to look at the second half. Really, it's just this sentence. It's quite a long sentence, I admit. This is sort of verse 17, 18, 19. And it's a similar prayer to what we looked at last week, but it really kind of zeroes in on love. Now, I don't know how you feel when I say we're going to be talking about love this morning. Maybe you're, to be honest, a little bit like me, and love feels like a little bit of an overused word. It's kind of become just sounding a little bit kind of trite and slushy, you know. You kind of think sort of happy clappy songs on the radio and a sort of diet of Disney and rom-coms and kind of love is all you need and love makes the world go round, but it all feels a bit superficial and a bit fuzzy feelings. You know, when we come to the Bible, we find that love actually is at the center of everything. Love is all we need, but God's love. And there is nothing shallow or superficial about God's love. It is not just fuzzy feelings inside when we hear nice music. God's love is the deepest, most powerful, most substantial thing in this universe. That's what this prayer is about. So if you are someone who, when we talk about love and we talk about, you know, Jesus loving you, if that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable and kind of just, can we talk about something else, please? Can I just ask you, maybe just give you a little challenge to suspend that feeling, if you can, for this morning, and just open yourself up to be willing to receive Jesus' love for you. Because that's what he wants this morning. That's what God wants. He wants to get behind our defenses and open us up in our deepest parts to the love that Jesus has for us. So I'll pray that God would help us with that, and then we'll look at this verse. Our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we praise you because you are love. It is the essence of who you are. You define it. Father, for those of us who, for whatever different reasons this morning, don't really want to think about love, please open our hearts please, Father, may you show us the kind of love that you have, which is so much better than any cheap imitations we find in this world. Please, may we grasp the love of Jesus more this morning. In his name. Amen. So we're just going to walk through and this prayer on the screen. I pray, Paul says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Okay, so as he starts off, he's saying, if you're a Christian, if you trust in Jesus, love is already the foundation of your life. And he's got these two kind of metaphors. So first he says you're rooted in love. If you know Jesus, then his love is like the soil that you as a person are growing in. His love is what feeds you and sustains you. And you're established in love. And that word in Paul's language, it was kind of like the foundation of a building. If you're a Christian, the love of Jesus is the rock that you stand on. Whatever else changes in your life, Jesus's love for you will never change. It is completely firm, and it is what gives you stability. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, you're already in it, founded on it, rooted in it. But he's going to pray, I want you to know it more. I want you to know it more. You know, there is a whole ocean of Jesus' love for us to take in. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how deeply rooted you already are in Jesus' love. There is so much more to take in. We've never plumbed the depths and hit the bottom of it. So he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people. Okay, let's just pause on that for a moment. I know we haven't really even got to the prayer yet. Together with all the Lord's holy people. This is not just me and Jesus in a sort of private booth in a restaurant kind of thing. You know, there is nothing about being a Christian that is individualistic. Paul just, he'll never let us think that. He's always reminding us, this is together with all the Lord's holy people. This is a prayer for us gathering here today. It's a prayer for our brothers and sisters at Grace Church in Hanley and Hartsill Bible Church. It's a prayer for our brothers and sisters in London and Bournemouth and Inverness. It's a prayer for our brothers and sisters in Japan and in Slovenia and in Iran. Together with all the Lord's people, we receive his love together as a body. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Okay, this is the heart of it. And I know there's a lot of words on the screen. It sounds quite complicated. It's a really simple prayer. It's a prayer that we know how much Jesus loves us. That's it. It's a prayer that we know just how much Jesus loves us. But not just know theoretically, like you could write an exam question on it, that kind of thing. This is about knowing Jesus' love from the inside. It's about knowing it personally. So let me do an example. Before we moved here about a year ago, and before we moved here, Katie, my wife, she read the whole Wikipedia page for Stoke-on-Trent. Make of that what you will. But she did. She said it was quite interesting. And if you'd asked her at that point, if you said, oh, do you know Stoke-on-Trent? She could have told you lots and lots of facts. But the real answer would be no. No, I don't know Stoke-on-Trent, because to know Stoke-on-Trent really, properly, you have to be here. You have to walk around the streets. You have to get stuck in the traffic. You have to go to the shops and talk to the people. You have to live in it. See, that this prayer is that we would live in the love of Jesus. That we would take it into our hearts, that we would know personally and deeply how much Jesus loves us. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You cannot measure Jesus' love. You cannot find its limits or its boundaries. All you can do is look at the cross. You know, when the Bible wants to show us the magnitude of Jesus' love, it says this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were in a universe of selfishness, when all we thought about was what's in it for me, and when we had no thought of living our lives for the God who made us, Jesus died for us. His love is so deep that he stepped down from his glorious throne in heaven to live an ordinary, painful, scarred human life. And he went down to be nailed to a cross. And he plunged down into the hell that you and me deserve. He took God's punishment that should have come to us for our selfishness and our sin, so that we never ever have to. And there's no explaining it in a way. There's no answering why did he do that, except to say that is how much he loves us. His love is so wide that his arms will reach to embrace any person who comes to him. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you think you're a religious person or a good person or you've never been in church in your life and you've done whatever things. His arms are wide enough to say, if you come to me, I have paid for it all on the cross. You are welcome. His love is so wide that he embraces us with all the details of our lives. There's no habit that you've got. There's no thing in your past. There's no fear in your future in which he does not love you. His love is so long that we can never exhaust his patience. You know, he loves his people today. He will love them tomorrow. He will love them the next year and the next year. He loves us in spiritually wonderful seasons where we feel like we love him back and we're living for him. And he loves us in the moments where we have let him down so badly. He never lets go. He always is there for another day to forgive us and pick us up and help us come back to him. And his love is so high that he will settle for nothing less than giving us a place in his perfect new creation. He will settle for nothing less than bringing us back into intimate relationship with our Father. He will settle for nothing less than meeting us face to face on that day when we will be completely remade and all of that selfishness will be gone and there will be no more sin and no more suffering. That is his love for people like you and me. There's a song that we sing sometimes at this church. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. The fullness of his love meets you. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of his love, leading onward, leading homeward to his glorious rest above. You know, whatever love you have or haven't received in your life, in this world, when you come to Jesus, his love for you never wavers, never walks out, never gives up, never gets tired. His love for you is a rock that you can build your life on. And if you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, if maybe you're here out of habit, maybe you're here because you're exploring, you're interested, but you haven't made that commitment to Jesus yet. Let me say, you can know this love today. You know, his arms are wide open. He says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Whatever your past, whatever state you feel in now as you sit in church, or if you're watching online, because you can't even quite bring yourself to come into this building, his love will reach to you if you come to him. But it's a prayer for all of us, isn't it? Like I said at the start, however long we've been a Christian, it's a prayer that God would help us to take in that love more fully. So let me give you a moment to pray like this, to say, Jesus, thank you for your love. Please help me to take it in. I'll give you a moment to pray. All right. let's just look at this last bit of the verse, because there is a kind of goal to all of this that he's praying, that there's a final end point, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's an amazing phrase, isn't it? It's one of those things you think, can that really be something that could be true of me? Can that really be something I could pray for myself? It's in the Bible. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, when we take in Christ's love for us, when we receive it, it fills us up with that love. And like I was saying at the start, that doesn't mean filled up with kind of fuzzy feelings and emotions. That's not what this is about. It's filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's in some way being filled in the same way that God is full. Filled with that substantial, weighty, gritty kind of love. Filled up all the way to capacity, all the way to the brim. And you know, when we are filled up like that, when we're filled up with the vast, unmeasured love of Jesus, naturally what happens is it comes out of us. It comes out of us to others. This is a really simple illustration. And I'm sorry if you get wet. It's like when when we receive the love of Jesus, when we take it in, when God enables us to take it into our hearts, it fills us, and he doesn't just fill us a little bit. He fills us all the way as we know him more and more. And what happens when we're filled all the way with the love of Jesus? It overflows and it drenches the people around us. That kind of sacrifice, that kind of wanting the very, very best for the people around us. When we see and we know and we take in how Jesus has done that for us, that fills us up, and that starts to be what comes out of us as well. That kind of patience which lays down our own kind of rights to get annoyed and says, no, I'm going to persistently, ongoingly think of what is best for you, even though you are pushing me time and time again. That kind of grace and compassion that doesn't push anyone away and is the opposite of that always receives the people around us and gives them our absolute attention, our absolute best, because we long for the best for them. The kind of love that longs for other people to know Jesus, because what could be better for them than that? When we receive Jesus' love, it fills us. It can fill us to the measure of all the fullness of God, and that can be what flows out of us. As I was thinking about these verses, it reminded me of a book that I read a few years ago. Sorry, it's a bit hard to read. It's called We Died Before We Came Here. It's a story of a couple called Emily and Stephen. They had both, in different ways, come from broken family situations, but they found the love of Jesus. And when you read this, it's so evident how that love had filled them. And for them, it took them to a country in North Africa to try and share the love of Jesus with the people who lived there. And if anyone wants to borrow it, I'm really happy to lend it to you. It's a moving story, but it's a story of Jesus's love flowing out through ordinary people. And it's tempting when we hear a story like this to think they're different, they're not ordinary me and my ordinary job or ordinary family situation. I just want to read to you a little bit. Where Emily talks about knowing that she should visit her neighbour and finding her neighbour really annoying. She says she's just tired of how she constantly wants to kind of badger her and ask her annoying questions about being a Christian. She prays this: Lord, you know how annoyed I get by things. You know I hate the goat milk they will give me. You know I'm tired, I'll have to force a smile. I know I should go and see them, but I just can't do it. Please give me love for them. Give me your love for them. Wash over me with what you feel for them. And she goes on to describe how God just reminded her from his word how Jesus had given everything for her, and that empowered her and enabled her to go, not begrudgingly, not as a duty, but to go with real love in her heart. We might feel miles away from that, but God has given us this prayer in the Bible, and that means that we can pray it and know that he will answer. You know, when he gives us in his word things to pray back to him, that's because that's what he wants to do in our lives. And so when we ask him for this, he will do it. I wish I took that in more. Why don't I pray like this? I want this to be what my heart is like. I want to grasp the love of Jesus. I wish in my relationships, in my conversations, it flowed out of me more. So why don't I pray like this? Let me just give you another moment. Again, perhaps just to pray a prayer like this. Jesus, please fill me with your love so completely that it would overflow to the people around me. All right, just as we finish, I want to try and be really practical. And I'm wary of that because I don't want to be prescriptive. I don't want to give you a law about how you should pray. God doesn't do that. So I'll make a suggestion. If this suggestion does not help you, you're not a worse Christian because of that. But sometimes just a practical suggestion can help us, can't it? So is there a moment in your day, and maybe a moment in your morning routine that always happens, whatever else happens, and maybe it's in the shower, driving to work, having your breakfast. Is there a moment where you could try and make a habit of just praying, Father, please help me today to remember how much Jesus loves me? I said last week, prayers don't have to be long. You know, God would so much rather hear from us with an honest, simple prayer like that than something long and feeling like we're meant to be coming up with the right words and being really theological or something like that. Father, please help me to know how much Jesus loves me today. Please may that love fill me up. Maybe this week, give it a go. See if you can make it a habit. You know, you'll miss a day. We'll all miss a day. This is not about a rule. This is just about learning to make these prayers that God has given us part of the rhythm of our life. Father, help me to know how much Jesus loves me today. And if you're still feeling like this idea of being filled up with Jesus' love, this idea that I could reflect Jesus' love out to others, it just feels out of reach. Here is the very next bit of the prayer. Paul finishes. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. He's able to do not just what we ask, not just the biggest transformation we could imagine in our hearts. He's able to do more than that. No, he's not. He's able to do immeasurably more than that in your life, in your heart. And he wants to do it through us praying to him. Because this is not, the end goal of this is not that we feel better about ourselves. We can put ourselves on a pedestal as a great example of love. It is all from him. And so to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray for us. Oh, Lord Jesus, your love for us is beyond anything we could imagine and anything we could describe. Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you that you loved us enough to take the weight of that wrath and that punishment that should have been ours. Thank you that you love us day after day after day in all our wavering and flakiness. Thank you that your love will take us to be with you. Father, I want to pray again for anyone who's listening this morning who hasn't come to Jesus yet. Father, give them power to know that his arms are open wide. May your Spirit enable them to come to him today. And may we, as a church, be filled with Jesus' love, that it would flow out of us for the glory of your name. Amen.